Sam Cedar fans, your blue balls are about to get a little bit bluer. Here's substitute host, Mark Maron.
All right, here we go. Six past the hour, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. I am here wearing a brand new necklace given to me by Janine Garofalo for Hanukkah. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome. It was fashioned by my own hands.
You made this?
Yeah. Well, you can't tell.
No, I thought it was a professional bead job.
No. Ever since I had jury duty last summer,
I have become a
bead making.
A hippie beadsmith?
Well, there was a lot of good craft stores down in the financial district, yeah. And I would buy beads and...
Was this actually made during jury duty?
No. That was made last night.
Oh, okay. So you weren't sitting there deliberating whether or not someone should be killed or...
I always dismissed. I was dismissed. It was federal grand jury duty, which was focusing on buy and bust operations, undercover operations. It was for 1 month.
Yeah.
And it was different cases where there had been surveillance for drug buys,
okay,
and busts. And it was always people of color who were poor from the Bronx, and some of whom did not have much drugs at all. Some of it was marijuana, which
right.
I think is absurd. And it's not my place to
pass judgment. And put those people in prison.
And put those people through the system. They've got it tough enough, as far as
so,
I can see.
So, Janine, a lot of people who listen haven't heard you in a little while. How are you doing? What is going? Are you having a nice holiday season? Are things okay?
A nice holiday? Yeah, well, I actually don't observe most holidays. I am a non-traditionalist, if you will.
But you mean you don't even eat and stuff when you go to places? Like, there's cookies everywhere and people...
I don't really go anywhere. I have also another problem that has happened as I've aged of...
You don't put a sweater on your dog?
Becoming an antisocial person.
Yeah.
And I believe it has something to do with dissonance, being noise pollution, which is driving me to become more anxious and socially...
What about just the draining effect of other people?
That too. But I don't want to waste time with dissonance, but I can tell you more about it later.
The
concept of that our ears and our genetic blueprint isn't really up to snuff when it comes to handling the amount of noise, especially in urban areas, that you get bombarded with day and night. And even when you're sleeping, if you have the windows open, as I always do, all of that noise is still going in, even though you are technically asleep. So that the cumulative effect of that amount of noise bombarding your brain and ear seeks to create an anxiety type of disorder.
Here's where I say this. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just saying that I think my social retardation is the result of dissonance.
I got it. All right, so let's listen to the president. Would you like to hear that in your head?
That'll cheer me right
literally,
up.
He just got done talking about some things and stumbling through stuff to where I was just telling these guys is that it was embarrassing. As angry and as hateful as I can get towards this man, I am scared and embarrassed that he's allowed to talk in public and that he's allowed to represent our country at all. Listen to this stuff. Can we hear some?
Mr. President, less than 2 months ago, at the end of one of the bloodiest months in the war, you said, absolutely, we're winning. Yesterday, you said, we're not winning, we're not losing. Why did you drop your confident assertion about winning?
My comments, first comment was
awful.
In this spirit, I believe that we're going to win.
It's like watching a comic bomb.
That... And by the way, if I didn't think that, I wouldn't have our troops there. That's what you got to know.
What?
He has no idea.
We're going to succeed.
Okay.
My comments yesterday reflected the fact that we're not succeeding nearly as fast as I wanted when I said it at the time, and that conditions are tough in Iraq, particularly in Baghdad.
All right.
Let's stop.
It's unlistenable.
Let me just say this. First of all, it has been embarrassing from the very start. And it has been an unbelievable insult to not only this nation, but every other nation that suffers at the hands of the international policies of this administration. We are being treated not only with contempt by this administration and the mainstream media. We are being treated with utter, unmitigated contempt. And we have been robbed of our dignity. We have been robbed of any sense that we have any kind of pride or intelligence as a citizen of this country.
And not just contempt, but they're laughing. You have people like when Ahmadinejad, is that it? Did I get it?
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. They are strutting and laughing. They're clowns. And he is, you know, turning out not to be as big a threat as everyone assumes, and he's been made a boogeyman, but he's just a politician. But when you have international leaders who are supposedly enemies, who are just sort of laughing at this president, and the idea that he is going to put 70,000, where's he going to get this military? How is he going to get 70,000 people to join the army unless he threatens them somehow?
Well, that's the point, Mark. It's what is also galling is why are we even giving him any credibility whatsoever. Like
right.
When there's these panels and people say, with all due respect,
none
do.
Right.
None.
Right.
And it's just like the end of Quiz Show. I've said this before a million times where mm-hmm. they just keep kissing the ass of Van Doren until I'm from Brooklyn and we don't, you know, that one guy stands up and then people clap. It is utterly unbelievable how the mainstream media, such as it is, has not only propped up this failure and this contemptuous body, the administration. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these characters have been around since Ford, as you know, and have been working day and night to make sure, you know, the concept that Watergate never happens again, meaning it never gets found out again. They have been making sure that they can operate with impunity and operate under the radar, and also knowing full well that the corporate media will never really hold them accountable for anything.
Well,
so why should they change?
But first of all, I think that the snub towards the Democrats in terms that, you know, we just got these two houses elected and that he's doing completely contrary action to what America wants and what the Democrats mm-hmm. said that they were going to do once they got in there as almost just an affront, just a big screw you that I'm not going to honor anything you're hoping for. But
right.
when I listen to him today and you hear the lack of confidence in the message and you hear that, you know, he doesn't have any plan whatsoever, it strikes me that we should be completely terrified at the possibility that they are just going to gamble with thousands of more American
lives.
Well,
they did it in Vietnam, and they did. You know, I was watching a documentary about the Korean the Bataan Death March, where those soldiers during World War II, rather, I believe, were left to suffer in the prison camps during the Roosevelt administration because Roosevelt didn't want to deal with that with the prisoners of war when they were captured by the Japanese because he wanted to concentrate on Germany. And that's when MacArthur said, I will return, the famous thing. He said,
right.
I'll get you guys back 3.5 years later.
Okay.
And I use that as an example, and I wasn't very articulate there, of these lives of these soldiers are essentially meaningless to the policy and to the administration. Now, Roosevelt's a far better man than George Bush Jr. I don't mean to put
sure.
those two together. MacArthur's not. But there is a sense that why should we care about these troops? Why
right.
should we care about you, citizen? And also for the Democrats, it's just human nature. People are treated the way they ask to be treated in some sense. The Democrats have never pushed for the most part. There are handfuls of great Democrats that you can watch at 4 a.m. on C-SPAN 2.
Right.
Speaking of,
this is what scares me, too, is that, you know, when Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton both say that they wouldn't oppose a troop surge if there's a plan there is ridiculous. They should be outwardly saying that is unacceptable.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat, because that makes
absolutely.
Them
absolutely. The Democrats
as well.
Have also made the mistake of trying to curry favor with people that will never like them anyway. And when you have people that stand up like Howard Dean, for example, he becomes a rock star. There is a huge hunger out there for people who stand up
to these people.
And yet the some of the Democrats, most of them, continue to pander. And it's almost like a abused wife syndrome. It's
I can't even believe it.
Thing.
Now we're all – see, I am frightened that Senator Tim Johnson I hope there's not office pools going on in the executive branch as to whether or not he's going to live or die. But mm-hmm. I said yesterday that since there is no precedent for precedent set for not having a senator serve if they're ill, that I believe that if he can blink, he can vote.
Uh-huh. Well, they let Thurman hang around for a long time.
Yeah, I think they should just prop him up, maybe, you know, just have a light red and a
green. Well, think about the embarrassment of people like, what's-her-face, Gene Schmidt, that cut and run,
mm-hmm.
Harpy, the Freedom Fries guy who then had a change of heart. But you know what? Day late, dollar short, Freedom Fry, man. You're supposed to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
Freedom Fries is as embarrassing. In World War II, it was Liberty Cabbage instead of sauerkraut.
So you have hope that the Democrats will find their guts in January?
Well, there are Democrats who have.
Right, but I mean collectively.
Well, it just depends on if you can change human nature, I suppose.
So you want to talk a little bit about Pelosi and some of the labor legislation?
About collective bargaining.
Okay,
and labor
let's take a break and do that. If you want to call, you can. 866-303-2270. We'll see if we can take your calls. We do have a professor coming on, William Chandler, the author of Iraq, Seeds of Division, at the bottom of the hour. So stay with us. It's 16 past. Air America, Marin in for Cedar. Garofalo is here.
It's Sam Cedar. Introducing whiny-ass, teeny baby conservatives to the truth. Wow, conservatives. That's you crying.